God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are gathered here because we grieve the loss of a son, a brother, a father, an uncle, family member, a friend. Someone who has touched our life in a way that no one else can ever touch it. And now our lives are sort of incomplete, missing, because of the death of a loved one, which creates much pain, which creates many tears. And in these ways of life, so to speak, I will admit, this one seems the hardest. It's not fair that children should die before their parents or even grandparents. It's not fair. So what do we do when life brings that fatal blow and we cry out, this isn't right? So in the midst of our pain and in our asking the question why, we gather here today, surrounded with friends and family, to be encouraged by God's word. We remember this day, Tim, who has touched our lives, knowing that we do not have the answers to all the questions in life. But this day, in the midst of our grief, our pain, our tears, we still have hope. I know it's hard to see any hope in the midst of such great pain, but Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So where is the hope? It is God who gives hope. And God does indeed give hope. When Timothy was brought to the waters of holy baptism, at that baptismal font, God instills that hope. Hope was given. It is through those waters of holy baptism that Scripture reminds us of the promises of God. With this simple water attached to God's word, God creates that special relationship for us to trust in, for us to hope in. Hence, holy baptism. We go back to that point in time when Timothy was baptized, because it is God who gives us the hope. And so we need to go back to our own baptism to remember that, yes, God still gives us hope, even in the midst of most difficult circumstances. And that baptism with that water and that word of God must have made a real big impression upon Tim. Because after that time, he loved water. He liked to fish in it. Whether it was frozen or not, it didn't matter. His love for fishing was great. And so for today, Tim's life has many parallels with another biblical character, so to speak. As our gospel reading depicts, this character is that of Peter. You see, both Peter and Tim had a love for water. They were both fishermen. And as Peter was called by God to be a special disciple, but more importantly, to follow Jesus, Timothy was also called by God as he was given that hope to follow him through those baptismal waters. I'm afraid, however, in those baptismal waters, there was no fish, but something more powerful. The hope, the faith, the trust in God. God who makes a special connection. Now, I will admit, Peter in the Bible was one who was known to be, at times, a little rough around the edges. Sometimes quick to speak when one should be silent. That was Peter. And it seemed that Tim may have picked up a few of those traits also. Peter, in one of his boldness moments, he made a very bold confession. As Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And then Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" It was Peter who very boldly says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was a bold faith, a correct faith. Likewise, Tim also made that bold confession of faith. Maybe not quite in the same circumstances that Peter did, but Tim did it when he was confirmed. After a period of instruction of God's Word and Luther's Small Catechism, he said, "This was my faith, my trust in my risen Savior, Jesus the Christ." That same type of bold confession. And it seemed that Peter and Tim had another parallel. Tim, to be honest, was never one that really rolled around with lots of dough, so to speak. Having plenty of money? No, probably not. Needless to say, in Matthew chapter 17, Peter was also penniless. And he couldn't pay the temple tax. Not knowing what to do, he sort of goes back to his master, Jesus. And Jesus, already knowing all things, basically sends Peter on an errand. And what was Peter really good at? That Tim was also good at? You guessed it. The errand was to go fishing. And you might be thinking, how do you get money out of a fish? With the Lord, nothing is impossible. Sure enough, with the first fish that was caught, inside the mouth of the fish, there was a coin to pay for the temple tax for both Jesus and Peter. Now you know the real reason why Tim loved fishing so much. Well, maybe, maybe not. Peter's boldness also took over on other accounts. You know, open mouth, make promises you can't keep, insert foot, chew. In John chapter 13, Simon Peter had one of those golden opportunities. He said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will afterward." Peter should have learned the lesson, let's just be silent that the Lord is speaking and be content with that. But no, Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Foot sandwiches don't taste that great. And Peter did deny the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ, 3 times, right before Jesus was crucified. Peter wept. During Tim's life, likewise, there were some of his actions that one could probably consider were not God-pleasing. Kind of were focused more upon himself than serving others. Tim's actions also show that there were moments in his life because of these actions that, in one essence, doing these actions kind of denied Christ. But Christ didn't leave Peter nor Tim there. Fortunately for both Peter and Tim and for us, God doesn't take these particular events kind of personally and get into a huff and pout. It is not the things that you have done that will keep one out of heaven. It is Christ who brings you to heaven. Jesus the Christ wanted Peter not to feel that guilt. So in our gospel reading for today, this takes place after the resurrection. Peter is feeling that guilt. He is overwhelmed that he had denied his Savior three times. And so Jesus now challenges him. Do you love me three times? And in the midst of that questioning is a restoration of a fisherman. So likewise, for Tim, he is restored. Not because of the things that he did, but because of what Christ has done for him. It was the forgiveness of sins that Christ went to the cross for, to accomplish for Tim and for you. It was life eternal that was given. And yes, those waters may be fun to play in and fun to fish in, but those same waters spoken with God's word now deliver salvation. So on that day, as our bulletin cover depicts, Jesus staring at the boat in the middle of the sea, the disciples did not know what to do. They were kind of directionless. They decided, let's go fishing. They thought Jesus wasn't there for them at the moment. So they went. And while they were fishing, they didn't catch anything. One of those down and out days. But it was while they were fishing that the cover of our bulletin takes place. Jesus appears. And he doesn't just appear. Notice how Jesus sets the stage. He already had the fire going. He already had fish, so to speak, roasting up, even bread. And then the disciples come to him. I'm sure Tim probably would also have appreciated that, knowing that he always liked a good meal. Then our Savior immediately provides that meal for Peter and the rest of the disciples. When they get to the shore, there was no need for prep work. It was already ready. And it was in the midst of that special meal, Jesus forgives, reinstates Peter for his denial. Do you love me? Three times. The parallel, three times Peter denied the Christ. Likewise, Jesus forgives and reinstates Peter, Tim. This time in a different meal. We're not allowed to have open fires here inside church. So Christ does things a little differently. And this meal in which Tim was reinstated was the meal that comes right before me at the communion rail. When Tim eats the very true bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, again for that forgiveness of sins, that restoration, Christ doesn't want to leave us feeling with guilt and hopelessness, but he wants to fill us with true hope by restoring us. Yes, the love that Jesus has for each of us in the midst of our own denial is something beyond our own understanding. It's a special type of love that can only come from God, who has this love for Peter, this love for Tim, this love for you and for me. The church grew under Peter's leadership, even in the midst of persecution of the Christians. When Christians were forced to go underground, so to speak, and sort of hide in fear of their lives. And some had, how did they, Christians at that point, have this method of communication? They did so using a very interesting symbol. It was a fish symbol. The Greek word for fish is ichthys. If you take the first letters of the following words in Greek, Jesus Christ, Savior of God, Son of God, Savior, you get the Greek word ichthys, which means fish. And when you see these little fish symbols, because you might see them on back of cars, maybe in businesses, maybe in homes, It doesn't mean that the person who has one of these fish symbols is one of these goody-two-shoes, so to speak. But it does mean that this person is forgiven by the Almighty God. And this is the mission of the church, because God wants all people to be connected to Him. It is in Christ Jesus that we have life and have it eternally. So this day, in the midst of our grief, there is a certain hope. The certainty of God's promises given to Tim, we also hang on to. And that is why Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." Tim is alive with Christ now, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. We have hope, not because of what Tim did or because of what we did, but because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So where is our hope in the midst of our current pain and suffering? It is this: while our hearts ache from the death of someone we know because of the separation, it is God's grace given to him, to Tim. And so we trust in that grace, that Tim is now alive with Christ. And one of these days, when Christ returns, Tim will be restored with a new spiritual glorified body up in heaven above, where relationships will be renewed. As the Bible reminds us, we do not worship the God of the dead, but the God of the living. On that last day, we will see Tim again, because God can and He does reinstate fishermen, reinstates people like you and me. The promises of God given. It all begins with a little water, no fish, but just God's word and the promise. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.